Hey everyone, welcome to Past Lives and the Divine. I'm Gina, the host of this podcast, and this is where we do that. We talk about past lives and the divine out there, the divine inside each and every one of us. And today, I'm going to let you be a fly on the wall in my solar return / 2021 forecast reading with Meredith from Earthling Astrology. So you all know Meredith. She's been on the podcast a million times. She's on every astrology episode. I think her first appearance was October of 2020, possibly, somewhere in there. So happy to be sharing this with you. I get the feeling and I get the feedback that you all are a lot like me in the sense of I just like listening to other people's stuff. So you'd be amazed at how many sessions I have purchased for people in terms of like psychic sessions, various astrology readings, and I always politely ask if I can sit in on the session or get a debrief of what happened afterward. I just feel like it's so interesting. So hopefully you feel the same. Just some things to note about this episode. So normally when we're talking about an astrology forecast, we're talking about the year to come. And Meredith and I recorded this episode, I believe it was December 1st of 2020. And so her and I are talking specifically about what the year 2021, the current year we're in, the current year we're finishing, what that year would look like for me. So we start the recording with what Meredith calls a solar return, and she is able to tell kind of like how we all have a birth chart and we have a rising sign, sun, moon, all of that. She can do that somehow like on an annual basis for us specifically. So for example, I'm normally a Scorpio rising. That's my birth chart. Or I mean, that's what's on my birth chart. So that's, I guess, what I am. I have Scorpio rising. But for the year, the solar return route between my 40th birthday and my 41st birthday, it is Leo rising in that solar return chart. So if you, just a little heads up to like kind of pay attention to that, as I was re-listening to it, I was like, oh, this could be something that someone's listening to and maybe a little confusing because it is December and last year when we recorded it was December. So just mental note, anything we talk about is 1 year prior. But I was thinking it would be kind of fun to reflect back, and you might be able to even see, like, even though this is specific to me and my birth chart, some of the things that Meredith talks about are on a collective level. So it might be fun for you to kind of go back and look or just like listen for the gossip nature of it like I would. That is totally good. Okay. So just a reminder, anytime we say December, we talk a little bit about the astrology from December of 2020. So just a reminder that it is last year we're talking about, not this year. And also, I want you to know, if you're on the fence about joining Kinship, my 2022 membership, you can still join. And on the first of every month in 2022, one of the things that Kinship members get are a special podcast episode for Kinship members. So only available for Kinship members, that gets delivered on the first of each month via email. And for January 1st, for our Kinship members, I am going to take this recording, this forecast that I did with Meredith for this year that's behind us, and I'm going to break it down. Like, I'm going to go through the high points that she talks about, things that stood out to me, and I'm just going to kind of give a deep dive, like a little bit deeper dive into my personal life, I guess, and what went on there, and just kind of dissect the year together. And I can't wait to share that with them. And then I can't wait just to discuss astrology, any questions they have. I am fucking beyond excited for Kinship. Ooh, you have no idea. Okay. So wanted to let you know that. Couple other things that I want to point out before we get into the recording. It's so funny when I was listening back to it. So again, we recorded it December 1st, 2020. It is December 2021 right now as I record this episode, this intro. And one of the things that Meredith kind of gave me a heads up on for 2021 is this idea of like a crisis in consciousness. Or like an existential crisis, however I guess you put it. And I think it's so funny. My questions that I had for Meredith about it, like I was like, oh, I don't know, I kind of feel like I'm always in that, da 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 da. And I think it's so funny listening back to it now because I'm like, oh, Gina of 2020. Well, you don't know. This fucking year was like a crucible. I have talked before. I've probably mentioned it before on the podcast, but my 30s, so in October, I just turned 41, October of 2021. And in my 30s, I felt like I completely changed who I was, and it was excruciating a lot and joyful a lot. But I really changed, and holy shit, I feel like the way I changed internally and how that's blooming externally from age 40 to 41, it rivals what I did in a fucking decade. So I think it's so funny to listen to my questions where I'm like, oh, okay, not a big deal. It's like, fucking buckle up, lady. So I'm excited to get into that a little bit more in the kinship episode on January 1st. So sign up, go to pastlivesandthedivine.com and click on kinship, and you can learn more about it. There's a lot more to that membership. So hop on if you want it for 2022. We talk a little bit about like relationship energy and shifts in my relationships and home. Oh my God, that would be like the title for this year. Meredith also talks a little bit about just shifts in how I do my work, how I view my work, and kind of like this unraveling or clearing of like money karma. And for me, up until this point, all of my money stories, blocks, issues, triggers, all of that shit, it has, when I dig into those issues, it has yet to be anything but like self-worth. It really is, for whatever reason. I don't know if that is for everybody, but for me, money issues really are like a route to healing. I don't know, the small amount of self-worth I had, or like just not enoughness within me. And I don't, while I do feel like this year shifted, I mean, every year I grow a little bit in business, so that's good. That's all I want. I really enjoy it. I don't need to be crazy busy in order to feel worth it. But also, on the flip side of that, this internal shift of it's almost, if I were to look back on it and be like, what kind of money karma things were cleared for me? I don't know what exactly. But what I can tell you is that the way I feel inside during any sort of transaction has really, I mean, like money transaction or business transaction, that sort of thing, or transaction where I'm like putting art out there and someone is consuming it, whether they're paying for it or participating in it or listening to it, whatever. So, I guess what I'm saying there is, I feel more worthy in the sense of I see the worth of my work even more. So it used to be probably even a year ago, and even it today, I am so fucking thankful for every soul that has listened to me drone on in these episodes. My God, we're on 96. And I love that, and I am so thankful for that, and thankful for many, many reasons. Thankful to have more conversations, thankful to feel normal, thankful for you all validating my experience, and hopefully, me sharing my experience helps validate your experience. It's beyond. But I would say even a year ago when I started this podcast, almost, this wasn't conscious, but when I look back on it, it was very much coming from a space of like, I don't really know what I'm doing, so don't look at me like I'm the expert. This isn't going to be perfect. And while I do feel the same way about this podcast, about this work, it's like, I don't know, I feel enough in this role as opposed to I feel like I am enough and it won't be perfect. Where before it was like, almost like, this isn't going to be perfect because I'm not enough. When I look back on the differences in thoughts, it's very subtle, but you can see how that would be fucking life-changing. Even just, I used to, in my wellness career, I had a blog, I would do a lot of videos, and now in my hypnosis career, it's podcasting, that sort of thing, and I've always been someone who is like a little surprised and shocked that people are paying attention. That's probably like a self-worth thing, and that is diminishing. And even my relationship with people who do listen, I see it as like a relationship of equals and partnership and friendship, like if we want it, right? And I choose who gets that. It's not just that, I mean, I'm thankful for sure that you're listening. But I guess before it was a feeling of like indebtedness. And it's like, no, I'm showing up with a gift and with information. And even though it feels easy to me, that is the shitty thing about a gift, is that a lot of times if it feels easy, we feel like it's nothing. It's not worth it. It's not productive. And the truth is like, that's our gift usually. And then we write it off like it's no big deal. But I guess what I'm saying is how I show up to the work, I feel more worthy. And in that is just like, I don't know, you think my 2022 membership is too expensive? I don't care. Like, I know that it's not. I believe that, you know, $400 for a year of content that's worth over $1,000 is like, I don't even have to explain that to anyone. And I just believe that the people who are right for kinship will be like, yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's worth it. Of course, 100%. I'm just showing up in a space of like, of just feeling more worthy. And in the sense of like, I will explain myself if it's needed, if someone has a question, but I'm not going to show up as like defensive and ready to explain myself. It's almost like I'm just trusting that I'm good enough instead of believing I'm not good enough and just like working really hard and finding all the excuses and the defenses as to why I did something. And it's like, I don't know. That's what felt right. And if it doesn't feel right to you, then I don't know, go look for something that does feel right to you. Life's too fucking short to listen to podcasts you don't like, to buy things you're not super into, to spend time with people or on things. It's just like, it's not worth it. And I don't know what the shift has been. I can point to like, you know, five things right now. But I do sense that I am showing up to my work differently. And that's how I interpret what Meredith was saying. Every time she says like, you know, things are really going to grow in your business and that sort of thing. She talks about like, oh, I think you'll be on Good Morning America or something like that. And for me, entrepreneurship has always been an internal journey, almost more than an external journey. And viewing it that way in the last couple of years has really served me. And I can see that in this past year. My business has grown, which is amazing. And I fucking worked my ass off. Like, I did 3 times the amount of podcast work that I normally do or had been doing. So yeah, my business grew. I'm also putting in the work. So maybe I don't see that as like divine. I see it as like, you know, well, I did A and now B is the result. But the spiritual journey for me is really on the inside and like how worthy I feel. And I think it's a cool place to be, and it's an empowering thing to look at. And if the fucking hundreds of past life regressions that I've facilitated, if those have taught me anything, it's that it's the fucking journey that matters. It's the daily experience that makes your life. It's not the once a year vacation. It's not the once a year bonus. It's not the big house, car, whatever. It is the daily experiences. And so someone's life might look like my own worst nightmare, but it's their dream, and vice versa. Like, I just, the way I show up is totally different, and it's freeing, and it's just wonderful and beautiful. And yeah, so I would just want to put that out there, because I've also been in a space many times where I get hyper focused on like money goals or what I think this is going to mean for my money situation. And it seems like I always in the past have been let down. Even if the money situation is good, it's like not good enough or not exactly what I thought it would be or whatever. And I'm just showing up differently. And to me, that is a win, because that is the win that will carry me into the rest of my life. Like, the abundance portion of it for me isn't just what's coming in, but it's also how am I receiving it. And before it even comes in, what I'm putting out there is coming from a space of like overflowing worthiness, and not like a cocky, overconfident, narcissistic, but like a, this is amazing. Like, what a fun gift that I have. And how fucking lucky am I that I can put it out there and people like it. Like, I've actually experienced lifetimes in my memory where I have been killed for the work I did. So, I don't know. All of it to say is I think that a lot of times we look at our work, whether we enjoy it or not, and we get twisted about the money. And it's like, as someone who has gone through phases in their life where they don't have money for food, that's me. Anyone who says money doesn't make you happy has never been without money. Money can definitely help boost the mood, calm the stress, but it is not going to solve the problems. And I've been reminded of that over and over in my life. And that was something that I wasn't expecting when I went back and re-listened to this. So very cool. Another thing that sticks out is how she called out September and how just to like take time off, and that would be kind of a time to like almost let the dust settle of all the changes. And I heeded that advice, and holy shit, did I need it. This intro is already way too long. Anyway, I'm going to go deeper into it, into the kinship episode inside the membership that drops on January 1st. But anyway, let me know if you have questions. Let me know what you think of this. If you're interested, go book your session with Meredith. Astrology really helps me in the reflection part of my life right now, at this moment in my life. And reflection has always been huge for me in the sense of building confidence, understanding, yeah, you have done a lot, or yeah, you can do this. Look, you've already been doing it. It's huge for me. And astrology really helps that. So anyway, sharing it with you. Hopefully you get at least a little entertainment out of it. Okay, gather around the fire for my 2021 forecast with Meredith from Earthling Astrology.
Okay, so I sent you a picture of the solar return chart, and that chart I sent you. So what we do to forecast, another tool to use, is called the solar return. And it takes a snapshot of the sky the moment the sun gets to the point in the sky of your birth. And it's supposed to give you a picture of the next year of your life. So that chart I sent you from October 22nd, 2020, and I just put your birthplace. Where were you on your birthday? I actually want to see if this changes at all. Like the nearest town you were at, your 40th birthday this year.
Minneapolis.
Golden. Oh, you were in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to see if anything changes. No. Okay. So gives me a picture of the next year of your life. So here's how I do the forecasting sessions. I do like the big stuff, like the energies on you the whole year. And then I go month by month. And I'm going through, I went through your next birthday, if that works for you.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, from your birthday chart a month ago, I can tell you that, communication is where you're going to be lit up. So I just see this as your podcast, as how you're communicating to clients. You might even change the way you're communicating. You might change your language, maybe change, I don't know, not necessarily a routine thing, but just kind of like what's coming out of your mouth, getting more comfortable, I guess, even with that, and lighting people up because of it. Mercury is retrograde in your birthday chart. So you're going to have a lot of Mercury retrograde happenings through your next birthday. And this is not a bad thing. This is more like taking your time, articulating your words. And it is in Scorpio. So I see you kind of bringing up topics or bringing up Mercury type things from the depths of Scorpio, like the weird, maybe occult topics. Are you planning to do the podcast all next year, right? Are you putting more energy towards that?
Yeah, okay. Way more energy toward it.
I just see it getting weirder and weirder and deeper and deeper. So I don't know if you have like guests like signed up for, if you have ideas, but
yeah,
it looks good from your birthday chart. I mean, it just kind of screams podcast stuff to me.
Perfect.
Okay. In the career part of your birthday chart. So again, this, I'm reading this chart for the next year of your life. Okay. Uranus isn't up there. So Uranus is wild change, epiphany, also rules aliens, everything weird, everything eccentric, everything that Uranus makes people a little bit uncomfortable, but it pushes them outside their comfort zone for growth. And this energy is in the career part of your chart. Until your next birthday. So I just see that as you kind of, I don't know, shocking people awake or shaking them awake by what you're doing. And I don't know if you've started to see that in your practice or the feedback you're getting from your podcast. But yeah, kind of pushing the envelope with the weird.
Yeah, that's the plan. Like I'm doing more with astrology, like with you and Ashley, our episodes, I'm doing more on like tarot. I'm doing it's just, I want to cover more of the kind of like occult things on the podcast as opposed to just past lives.
That is, makes this birthday chart very, very happy.
good.
So, okay. A couple more things that I'm picking up from the chart. I think your routine may start to get restructured and you're still not seeing people in person, right? Just kind of virtual.
Yeah.
All right. Are you getting busier? Like, are you getting more and more work at all? Because if you're not, you're going to be.
I am not right now. Partially on purpose. I like to kind of slow down in December and January. So I blocked off a little more of my calendar for that.
Yeah.
But I had this group or this woman and she has a membership and she wanted me to do a past life hypnotic recording for it, and they paid me, which it's like you never get paid for that shit.
Yeah,
they paid me, and they have 1,000 people in their membership, and they've said we're interested in past lives, and just like they're not that Instagram following is everything, but they have like almost 600,000 Instagram followers, so
wow. That's
part of the promotion. So I was like, oh, I wonder if. Sometimes you do this stuff and it's like nothing changes, but sometimes you do it and you see a perk up, you know?
It's so weird how that happened. Same to me. Like, I got a bunch of here. This, I want to tweak your ego a little bit. So I did your podcast and I got a bunch of sessions from it, maybe at least 10 right away from like Iceland, my first reading in Australia. Like, so thank you.
Yes.
And I was on NPR last week. Nothing. Like, no sessions. Like, I mean, NPR, like everyone listens to NPR. So I was like, wow, Gina's like, yeah, she's on point. So what I want to say is this is some Capricorn stuff. Start planning to how you would manage an onslaught of work. So like kind of set a foundation, maybe even block your calendar. So if you want to have a set schedule or something, like I'm going to do this on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, whatever you need to do, start kind of setting up some kind of foundation for that. Okay. Just so you can be prepared if things get really crazy.
Yeah. I'm smiling so big because these are like things that are on my to-do list of okay, I'm taking on the podcast is probably going to be not quite double the work, but like, it's going to be more work. And so
It's
more just like how, you know, I didn't get more hours in the day. So I have been thinking about that anyway. I feel like January could be incredibly busy and I'll just feel better if I have some sort of routine or schedule to tweak. So yeah, that's.
Yeah. I like that you blocked off December. Cause I'm like going down the rabbit hole of what this stuff could mean coming up on the collective for December. So it's going to get wild. This year before your next birthday, just plan a lot of work, but I don't know if you feel like me, like our work is not really work, our passion. So yeah, lots of opportunities. It could be a lot. I just want you to be ready for it. It looks like you're, I don't know, before your next birthday, again, your fuel is all directed towards your philosophy and belief systems, and almost like you want to educate people on not college grad school education, but it's like a spiritual education, and how it can actually, the tweak is like the education about themselves. So you're throwing this information, but it's not, you're not teaching them anything, you're giving them the tools to teach themselves.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay. And then have I talked to you about skip steps before in the birth?
Pretend like you haven't, because I don't remember
okay.
what it is.
Okay, refresher. So skip steps, when I work with them in evolutionary astrology, is thought of as in a past life, you had a soul contract to do something, either free will, free choice, you didn't do it, you didn't complete it. You can have them in the birth chart, you can have them between two people, and you have two to complete before your next birthday. So there's two that are coming up this year that were activated in October. And I have my own interpretation of them, but you, of course, can think about what they mean to you. So they're represented by Venus, and the second one is Neptune. You have two to complete. And how I read this is the Neptune stuff is spiritual energy, is the divine, you know, all that woo-woo stuff. And I kind of wrote down your skip step is to bring spiritual energy to the collective shadow, or maybe it's your shadow. There is some shadow stuff, shadow work for you to do this year. But this kind of spiritual skip step is in the part of the chart for the shadow. So almost maybe bringing a spiritual light to things that have been, I don't know, pushed into the shadow of the collective humanity, kind of collective unconscious maybe. And the Venus one. So Venus is love, money. It's also, but for you, the skip step is in the self-worth part of the chart. So I don't know if you've had to fight any feelings of like imposter syndrome or I don't know what else it could be. But again, Venus is also money. So making money by doing this work might be what the skip step is about, and like owning it and learning how to receive.
Yeah, there's something there. Like okay. When you say that, it's like, oh yeah, I can think of like three different things where I'm like, all right, I'm gonna, yeah.
And maybe it wasn't a coincidence that you brought up, like, I don't normally get paid to do this kind of thing, but I did this time. So maybe that kind of thing, like getting paid to do stuff you used to do for free is gonna start to change before your next birthday.
Ooh.
Okay. Any questions about your birthday chart? So that was the whole picture of what's coming up for you in the next year in a nutshell?
No, that's it.
Okay. And I pulled what's called the progress chart. This is astrology 601, so don't worry about what it is, but I want to tell you the phase of life. It's based on the moon phases, the phase of life that you're in for the next year. And it's a third quarter moon phase, which is nicknamed crisis in consciousness. This is one of my favorite moon phases. I haven't been in this phase myself for a little bit, but I don't know if every day you feel like you're having an existential crisis at some point. yeah, the crisis is in consciousness kind of energy is on you all year, which I think is magic based on what's coming collectively.
So when you say the crisis of consciousness, is it just, could it also be like, I don't know. Does that mean I will feel in crisis, or is it just like
a consciousness crisis? Kind of like how I think of it is like, who am I? What am I here to do? Am I really real? Like, almost feeling like you're schizophrenic, insane. Which is, again, not a bad thing, because the more I read the news, like, everyone's schizophrenic right now. And just consciousness itself. Is the crisis is a strong word, but I don't think this is a bad thing. It's like pushing you for knowledge about exactly what is consciousness.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because I was like, I feel even the crisis in consciousness is like, it doesn't seem like a bad thing to me, even though crisis is a bad thing. So I was like, wait, is this bad or bad? I don't feel like it's not bad.
No. So on the flip side, for example, the first quarter moon is nicknamed crisis in action. So it's like, usually I see people in that phase of life, like things are happening to them on an external environment and they need to take action. But the consciousness phase, the third quarter, is more internal. Crisis. So like, not necessarily external things. I think there's a lot of external stuff coming up this month, but yours is going to be more of an internal crisis instead of things coming at you.
Okay.
That's just from my experience.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. Now I'm going to switch it up a little bit. Let me just grab some charts here. Okay. Now I'm going to go through the big ticket items based on the transits, which is the sky triggering your birth chart for this year. And then I'll go about month by month. And I got to talk about the cosmic weather this month, because I'm down so many rabbit holes with it. But before I do that, relationship stuff. You have been going through, and this has been on you for a while, this there's awakening energy, like incoming in your chart. And the incoming part of the chart is also that your one-on-one relationship with your husband, with other people, just kind of awakening. And this is on you really strong until April of 2021. Okay. And then you're done with it. So I don't know, are you and Alex good? Like, do you feel like you're awakening as a couple? Have you guys been, this is tough for couples that are not good. So I want to make sure you guys are good, because this is an awakening period and some couples don't survive it if one of them is awakening, one isn't. Do you see a change in him? Is he kind of into your stuff? I don't really know.
He's the most open-minded person.
Okay.
So he's, you know, done a few past life regressions. Does he think past lives are a thing? He just is like, I don't know. And then doesn't think about it, where I'm like thinking about it all the time.
Yeah. Okay.
But we're very much like, we're very open and growing, both of us, kind of in our own separate ways. But when you say that, I think of like things just between us where I do feel like we're evolving, and I do feel like,
you should be evolving like crazy right now. That's what this energy is. And if you resist it, that's where couples have a lot of trouble.
Okay.
Do you guys meditate together? That would be really awesome for you guys to just kind of like put your energy fields together and see if you can, I don't know, amp it up in some way. This energy is so rare that if you live 84 more years, you'll experience it. But this is awakening energy, once in a lifetime, usually thing coming for your relationship and your one-on-one relationships with whoever crosses your path.
Okay.
I expect your sessions to get even weirder until April, then the energy moves on and it's like, it's going to set a new baseline for your sessions.
Okay. Cool.
And just the fact that this is alien energy too. So the fact that you had an alien life come in, and I'm not sure if that's happening more and more to your clients, but I expect it will.
Yeah. And I've gotten more clients who are like, have the same questions I do. Like, what, I want to know more, like who thinks they know more? Tell me what you think, you know, type of thing.
Okay.
I always wonder, do we have those curiosities if there's more there? You know, if you've had contact, if you have been one, if you know, depending on, I guess some people think we've all been ETs at some point, but so yeah, I do see that.
Okay.
I'm excited to, you know, wherever the world takes me.
Yeah, no, I mean, ground yourself, because this is like shocking awakening energy. So I'm sure you've heard lots of stuff, but you're going to hear lots more stuff through at least April, and it's going to set a new baseline for you with working one-on-one with people.
Okay.
Okay, how much have you been reading about what's coming in December astrologically?
Enough to know like something's coming, but I don't know what that means for me.
I'm gonna send my newsletter out after we're done today. Okay, so I'm gonna tell you what's coming, and I'm gonna tell you specifically how it's impacting your chart. Okay. Do I know what is coming? Absolutely not. I didn't know last year either, but I know something is. And now I'm like feeling it stronger than I was last year. I don't know if you're feeling it or in my head. Anyway, okay, so yesterday there was a lunar eclipse. And 2 weeks from now, there will be a solar eclipse. So December 14th, if you know anyone mid-December, born mid-December, that'll affect them the most. This actually, for our generation, this eclipse is lining up with Neptune for anyone born around 79, 80, 81. Okay. So our age, this is affecting me too. So it's like the eclipses symbolize beginnings and endings, always wild card. And for our generation there, it's triggering our Neptune, which is spiritual divine energy. Mm. So people in their late 30s, early 40s are supposed to be having a spiritual awakening. If they haven't, the universe might throw them something on this eclipse to kind of snap them out of it. So that's collectively. For you, this eclipse is in a harmonious aspect with that mediumship gift I talked about. I think we talked about in your podcast that you have actually, that you're like a conduit.
Yeah.
So that conduit you could think of is getting a new beginning, or like maybe this eclipse is going to be, I don't know, some kind of portal for you to take that to the next level. Whatever that means for you. And what is really cool about this eclipse, it is lined up with the center of the Milky Way galaxy. So it is a juicy one. I don't know how often that happens, but there's so much rare stuff coming that I'm like, buckle your seatbelts, everybody.
Oh my God.
It's also in a harmonious aspect. And again, I think of eclipses as like portals with your past life symbol and your soul contract. So this month I see as like a launching pad for you. And I don't want to guess too much about what this could mean. I'm kind of waiting for it myself. But we're all launching into the age of Aquarius, which is your comfort zone because of your past life symbol being Aquarius.
Oh, yeah.
So not a coincidence. You've mastered Aquarius energy before this collective shift happens this month.
Wow.
So you'll be taking all the gifts and helping us maybe, or me too, I guess, helping humanity ease into this new age.
Wow.
Coming fast and furious this month. Okay. Any questions about the eclipse? Eclipses are wild and that's 2 weeks away.
What should I do? Like, is there something like you had mentioned, like meditating with Alex would really kind of like amplify the energy, or like, it's a good way to utilize the energy. What's the good way? Like, for an eclipse, whether it's in general or if it's like something about my chart.
This eclipse for you, ground yourself, get in nature, get in your body. The eclipse, and then on top of you going through that crisis in consciousness phase of life, I just want to make sure you're on planet Earth and not doing any escapism things or heading towards it, embodied in your body, while we kind of go through it. So just grounding. You don't have a lot of earth energy in your chart, but this month might feel like you're not quite locked in to place.
Okay.
sense. So, and I know you could do your nature walks quite often. So that's grounding. Yeah. And then maybe Ashley's taught you some other grounding tips, whatever works for you. Grounding rocks, even by your bed. Like, like I have a chunky black tourmaline by my desk, but I have this by my nightstand too.
Okay.
Just to like extra protection.
Yeah, I love it.
Did you have a question? Sorry, I think I cut you off.
I don't think so.
Okay.
If I did, it's gone.
Okay. A week after the eclipse that is lined up with the center of the Milky Way galaxy in December 21st, 2020, I am freaking the fuck out about what's happening.
Really?
Oh my God. It's crazy. So Jupiter and Saturn are going to align in the sky. This happens every 20 years. They are going to align at 0 degrees Aquarius. I cannot find in history when this has ever happened in humanity. I went back eons and I can't find it. They're at the same declination, which means sometimes planets are, one's here, a little bit lower, but they're going to be right next to each other within a tenth of a degree. That hasn't happened since 1226, the year 1226. And the theory is that the Star of Bethlehem in the Bible was Jupiter and Saturn aligning in Pisces, which brought in the age of Pisces. And the fact that these planets are aligning in Aquarius, we are now entering big time the age of Aquarius. So I don't know what that means, but it means complete radical change about what is happening right now.
God.
Yeah. Don't go on YouTube like I did last night about what this can all mean. And everyone, you know, it's funny because my awakening literally happened on December 21st, 2012. And that was the end of the Mayan long count, their calendar. Everyone thought the end of the world was going to be December 21st, 2012. And then 8 years later, we have this major conjunction. So I don't know what it's going to mean. And I don't know when your stuff happened. Maybe we talked a lot about it a little bit. You were the fitness instructor. When did you decide to become a past life regressionist? Was that 2013-ish? Or was it like you wanted to do that in kindergarten? I'm just curious when you got really weird or when your awakening started, because my theory is the first wave kind of woke up at the end of December 2012 into 2013, and now this is humanity's turn. So it's like me, you, other people. Natalie is another good one, lawyer turned psychic. We are like the first wave, and now this is the second wave that no one can escape from. That's just my own personal theory.
That is interesting. Yeah, I would say 2013 was the first time I had been referring people to hypnotists for a while before going myself.
Okay.
And that's the year I went myself, I think. Otherwise, it was like, you know, end of 2012. It was kind of in that area.
Yeah.
But then I like essentially burned down my corporate, like my wellness consulting, my last piece of that puzzle of 2017 was my last year in that. And then mid 2018 is when I did my hypnosis training.
Okay. And you met Alex sometime after 2012, right? 2011. Or did you know it? 2011. Okay. So yeah, you guys probably came together right on time then. So yeah, that's just my own personal theory. I just have to see what comes this. Okay. My only interpretation of how this big, it's called the Great Conjunction. If you want to Google it, even astronomers are talking about it. It's a big deal.
Okay.
It's how I think it might show up for you is a decision. There's a little bit of push-pull, like a yes, no, angel, devil. And this decision, it's like you can't make a wrong one with the energies coming in, but it might be, I don't know, you feel like you might be making the wrong one. Don't worry, you can't make a wrong decision, but just know that something might show up for you where you have to like open this door or open this door. And if you open the wrong door, I don't even like to say that word, but you will be course corrected very quickly.
Okay.
if you make the wrong choice, how I kind of interpret it is like it'll cause that schism. I don't know, that's what I call it. Like if I make the wrong decision, I'm like my body kind of kinks. I'm like, that doesn't feel right. So yeah, that's how I kind of see this showing up for you. So follow your intuition, shut off your brain as much as possible. And if you have to make some kind of decision, maybe it's some opportunity that falls in your lap, two at the same time, and you can only do one of them. Okay. that kind of thing. It's gonna be wild.
And that's around the 21st.
On the 21st, but yeah, plus or minus 7 days of that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And then right at the, you're just starting a transit. Again, it's a once in a lifetime thing that's going to be on you until early 2022. I just want to mention this. If you have any anxiety about money, or if you're OCD about money or any kind of money things, that is going to be dissolved. If you feel like you have any money karma, that is coming to be wiped clean. And like the energy exchange with you and money is going to be kind of, I'm struggling with language, just kind of revamped in the next year and a half. It's like you doing spiritual work is, that's it. You don't even have to worry about paying the bills. It's just going to manifest. So the law of attraction with money is amplified. And again, if you have any money karma or OCD money stuff, that's going bye-bye in the next year and a half. If you let it, if you release it.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Okay. Now I'm going to go month by month. And I kind of hit December already with the major events coming up. So let me bounce my chart and ask questions as I'm talking. And if something doesn't make sense, for sure, let me know about that.
Okay.
Okay. So again, December is wild. If the super volcano doesn't blow at Yellowstone, I'm sure we'll be talking in January for your podcast. and January, oh, God. the part of your chart that's full, like full of energy, and your solar return chart backs it up, is communication. Is just getting stuff out there, just blowing people's minds. That's what January, it's like you hit the ground running with what's coming out of your mouth and what's... Sweet. Yeah. So communication. And there's another indicator, and this might kind of go along with the December thing, that there's going to be incoming something. So like if this decision doesn't show up in December, there's just another indicator that something's coming soon, where again, door A or door B, you might have to kind of decide where you're directing your energy.
Okay.
And you, I just wrote down, you might surprise yourself with an action that you decide to take. It might be something the old Gina would not have done, if that makes sense.
Okay.
As it comes in. Okay. February is quite a hot month for you. And I don't know how to quite translate this. And I think by the end of December, we'll know as a collective how this is going to show up. So I apologize if this is a little generic. I'm just kind of waiting to see what the world does by the end of the year.
Oh, yeah.
So February is, I want to go back in time a little bit. What were you doing early 2009, 12 years ago?
Like,
if you can remember.
Year.
Let's see. Where were you living? What were you doing? Who were you hanging out with, and where were you working?
Okay. 2009, I was working. I was managing the corporate fitness centers, and I was in the early, early stages of being an entrepreneur, like having my own LLC and like officially like training people on the side and creating, I created this whole coaching program that essentially I started back then.
That was your wellness gig? Okay. Yeah. And then when did that wellness gig, when did you quit that?
2012. And then I was my own boss for the most part, 2012 to, I mean, still, but then to the end of 2017 when I shut it down.
Okay. All right. So I'm asking you these questions because the energy that was on you in early 2009 is coming back. So it's interesting that it sounds like that's when you decided to just plant a seed to be an entrepreneur. So it's like phase one of the entrepreneurship is now complete, and you're going to be starting phase two. Okay. And the energy on you in February is triggering your past life symbol in Aquarius. So this just means, again, expand upon past life gifts. Anything that's been remained dormant or asleep will be waking up. And you're going to be starting a cycle that sets you up for the next 12 years of your life. And around February, do you have any plans to move or anything like that, or get office space or anything like that?
No.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's going through kind of the home base of your chart. So I don't know if you're going to expand your home, or this could be family too. I don't know if in your family is expanding, anybody having babies, it could be simple as that. But yeah, it's just kind of, and also this is a part of the chart for your kind of deep unconscious. So again, like something's coming where end of phase one, you're going to start phase two of entrepreneurship. And it's abundant energy. It's good luck. It's synchronicities piling up. Which could, maybe this is coming through right after you make, if you end up making a decision December, January. The energy on you, if you want to know the technical details, is Jupiter, okay. Biggest guy in the sky, transiting your south node in Aquarius, which is that past life symbol.
Okay.
So yeah, fall down a Google rabbit hole, maybe some YouTube videos about Jupiter and what that could mean.
Awesome.
And the energy is still on you. It's going to start heavy and, but not heavy, that's the wrong word. Big, we'll just say Jupiter is big. It's going to be big in February, and that energy is going to keep on you until March. Okay. So I told you to kind of start planning for, you know, incoming work. I just want to make sure you can handle it. I mean, would you even, have you thought this far ahead of like hiring an assistant someday, something like that?
Yeah, you know, it is on my radar.
Is it? Okay.
Very, very, even to the point where it's like, I have just made a note so mentally in the back of my mind as I move through my new, more podcast work, I'm kind of switching client hours. Just something that I've noted is like, pay attention to things that someone else could easily do.
Okay. All right. So you're starting, yeah, I wonder if that, again, could come fast and furious by February, March, even if you hire someone like 6 hours a week to manage your schedule or something. Like, yep. Yeah, that totally couldn't, would it be? When you started your wellness thing, did you ever have an employee, or is it always all you?
I had a virtual assistant for a while.
Are you like an actual person?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay. Like there's always those virtual bot. I'm like, did you get a bot or did you get a person? Okay. So that just, I like to go back in time. Cause I'm like, okay. And also think about what you did in 2009. What'd you do right? What'd you do wrong? Make sure you don't repeat any of the wrongs. So that is important too. This is a cyclical soul lesson. So if you think about 2009, when things got a little bit out of control or something you're not happy with, make sure you don't repeat it because those cycles could come back.
Okay.
So even like just taking your now business to the next level, if you wanted to do that last time, like what did you miss out on, or what did you take a wrong turn?
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So March is still on you. And then, wrong button. Okay. March energy shifts for you in March, to kind of like, it's going to challenge you to be a creator, or like your creative juices, that is getting expanded upon. And I don't know what that would mean. This is not necessarily a career, but it's more of like the hobby part of the chart, but both of our hobbies are our careers. So it's just kind of like your self-expression. What are you here to create? And I think you might start getting busier. So like, think about just how to get creative, whether it's managing energies or what you're doing with your spare time, and make sure you're still having fun. Okay. And I don't know if you feel like I do, that my job is fun, but it's also like a drug. If I do too much of it, I get burnt out.
Yeah.
So you gotta like kind of find balance with that.
Okay, putting it.
Yeah, my husband didn't like, I'm like, yeah, my astrology is like a drug to me. Like I just, once I do it, I want to keep doing more, but then I'm like, oh, I'm like tweaked out, like yeah. Overdose, like overdose. Okay. Do-do-do. Okay. April. It's so the way I'm visualizing kind of the energies, and again, I don't know what December is going to bring collectively, but you got Jupiter stuff, something big and expansive. You're restructuring your kind of daily life. April. So Chiron, I think we've talked about Chiron before, the wounded healer.
Yeah.
He takes 50 years to go around the sun. So he takes 50 years to go around the chart. You have not experienced this level of Chiron in your lifetime yet. So he's on you for a year, mother healing. He brings the wounds to the surface so they can be healed. That's on you for a year. Know that this is another level of awakening. So again, if you feel anything is stuck in your cells, any bitter resentment, anger, I think there's maybe a little bit of anger towards mom. That's going to be maybe triggered between April of next year and April of 2022. It's a year long of healing mother energy on a karmic soul level. And that will not be coming back into your chart until you're 90. So every 50 years, it's a big one. So May, there's just a lot of there's a lot of money stuff in May.
Okay.
And actually, it is actually bouncing off the symbol for Alex in your chart too. So I don't know what that would mean for you guys, but just maybe his business making more, or I don't know, just money stuff all over the place.
Okay. Stuff or like stressful stuff?
I see good stuff because the planet Jupiter is quickly going to enter Pisces. So Jupiter enters Aquarius in December, is going to enter Pisces on May 13th with a direct line of sending you abundance. Oh. Looks good. Okay. I don't see any red flags or anything with the money stuff. So I see your money actually expanding.
Okay, cool. I'm into it.
I don't know if this will be a possibility, but I do see a potential for like a quick trip for you in May. So obviously kind of travel's grounded right now, but maybe things will be better by May. And how much were you traveling before the world went crazy?
I probably went to Atlanta to see my sister like 3 or 4 times a year. And then I would just for like a long weekend. And then I don't know, Alex and I would probably go on like 4 or 5 trips a year. Like whether it's a weekend in Colorado or a week somewhere, but yeah.
Yeah, this seems more like a fun getaway trip. It could be travel for work, but yeah, I see a potential for something travel. Okay, so we have this major eclipse in December and the next eclipse is on June 10th. And it's gonna be, the polar opposite of the energy that the eclipse is bringing in December. So I kind of struggle with eclipse predictions because I need to see what the December eclipse is going to mean for us on a collective. And then we have another one coming in June. It's like you open this door, something again, beginnings and endings. So something for collectively is going to end and then begin, and the same thing in June. Okay, this eclipse in June is a little bit, this is how I see your shadow work. And I think some mom stuff is gonna come up before the eclipse, but actually this eclipse is falling in the shadow part of your chart. So this isn't scary. This is just expect a shadow to be illuminated or some kind of shadow work, either that you need to do or you maybe are helping. All of a sudden your clients are coming in with entities attached to them from 5 billion years ago. Like, I don't know exactly what the shadow means. I've had a few instances, actually 2 months ago, the shadow showed up for me and Natalie, like hardcore. Like it was just straight shadow. One client even had an attachment that drained my iPad battery. It was crazy. Like, so I don't know what that's going to mean for you, but just know that shadow work or shadow stuff is showing up with the eclipse in summertime. And I don't know what this would mean, but how much shadowy stuff is, I know I've listened to one podcast where you had like something on you. How much have you experienced your clients, either attachments or entities, whatever you, negative thought forms, I don't know what you call them, but like, you know, that the black blob of stuff, how often do you see that in your practice?
Well, I kind of think of it as like not a yes or no, but more like a spectrum. So like out of every past life, someone might have any sort of residue, even if it isn't in the entity category, it might have grown that, you know, like if it's a block and then you continually, is my picture of it. It's like almost like it can catch negative emotions and it feeds it and it gets bigger, right? So, I mean, almost every session we do some energetic clearing, but in terms of like straight, like someone is saying this is an attachment, it has the form of like a human, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5.
Okay.
But like I had experience with like paranormal in a house that I lived in, and I had I've like helped people clear basements and stuff. Like one entity I felt like was almost like around
the
throat. Yeah.
Okay, so know that the eclipse in June, if you want to dive into the 8th house of the birth chart, this is the occult, this is the shadow, this is Scorpio territory. And I feel called to tell you this. So we, the 2 months ago when we had like the string of shadow stuff, Natalie was picking up curses, which I never, like I was obsessed with curses as a little girl, but like, I'm like, oh, why are curses coming up? Like witchy lives where you curse the other person, or shaman, like I've read books about how shamans can actually kill someone just with like a curse, like that kind of weirdo stuff. And I'm not sure if that would kind of stuff would show up for you next summer, but I want you to start thinking of, get maybe creative with your imagination of what could show up, because there's a little bit of tension with your words. So I don't know how many sessions you've had where you're like, I don't know what the fuck to say. So maybe hit the books on what other therapists do to calm people. Dolores Cannon is one of my favorites. She has all these, yeah, I don't know if you trained under her, but her stuff is next level. Like she's
okay.
Yeah. Now that I'm reading her books and what her clients experience, I'm like, oh, she was good at calming them down. Like you, yeah. I give you props. I mean, people must see stuff that their brains can't even comprehend. So just maybe work on your language around, pick up some books about how to calm people down if, you know, that shadow shows up for them, or calm yourself down if the shadow shows up for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's buzz by. Let's see what's going on in July. I see a little blip with money, so maybe like a contract or some kind of more work in July for you. I see Alex getting really motivated to do something in July. I don't know what that would mean for him, but he's being triggered in July.
Okay.
And also in July, you and Alex, and I guess your relationships one-on-one, the same kind of part of the chart.
Yeah.
You're gonna be starting phase 2 of awakening energy. So you're off the first trial of awakening for you and Alex, and then this summer starts phase 2 of even getting more bonded, more psychically connected, or whatever that means for you guys. Next level stuff. Okay, I actually have a day in August that I want you to be intentional about if you can. Oh, it's a Sunday. Oh, maybe you do have Sundays off.
Yeah, I can have whatever day.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, maybe you should block your calendar on August 8th. 8/8 is a super hot day in your chart. And I always have to tell people this when I see a day that like the stars align. And 8/8 is on social media, it's the Lionsgate portal and all that kind of bullshit people call it. But 8/8. Yeah. Okay. On 8/8, you're going to have your Venus return, which just means Venus is going to get to the same spot in the sky that she was at your birth. So that is a Venus-y, lovey, amazing, usually, period.
Okay.
And not only that, there's a new moon that day for everybody, but how the new moon is falling on your soul contract that day in Leo. And the new moon is in Leo. In your birthday chart, you have Leo rising. So
I'm Scorpio rising.
In your birthday chart this year, though, you're a Leo rising. So so the theory is you're always going to be a Scorpio rising. That's in your birth chart.
Yeah.
The solar return chart I emailed you, this year of your life is Leo rising. Yeah, so the shamanic, I didn't include a profile for that chart, I should have. So the shamanic theory is like, that's the energy rising within you. So you are a Scorpio rising as a default, but between your 40th and 41st birthday, you got Leo coming up. So Leo, remember your soul contract is to be seen, stop being the observer. You're now going to like be observed. And 8/8 is, I just see Leo, something with Leo coming up. And Leo again is the famous people. You're kind of destined for fame, and I want you to get ready for that in 2021. And that's why I'm saying, like, think about your schedule, think about being, I don't know, somehow everybody knowing who you are and how to handle that.
Crazy.
Yeah. I don't know how nervous that makes you. It's like, I'm a Leo North Node too. And I'm like,
I feel like we're going to be at this reading next year and be like, oh, that actually meant this, not fame.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe we won't be on our yachts, but like with, who knows? I don't know, but I'm going to be in the same boat, but this is just more potent for you because of where your chart lies.
Oh, okay.
So August, it's possible you'll be thrust into the spotlight also. And just be, you're going to be seen publicly, in or around, I mean, 8-8 is the exact day. But I always say June 21st is the longest day of the year. It's not necessarily the hottest, but something's cooking for you in August. Okay. So I just saw like February was a really hot month and so is August. So it's kind of like a lot of polarity energies, like chapters in a book.
Okay.
Okay, after the August, if you are thrust in the spotlight or you're featured on Good Morning America, I don't know what's going to happen. Okay. September, there's a lot of retrograde planets. So September, after whatever goes down in August, I would use it as reflection. So if you need to take some time off, personal self-care time, September would be great for that.
Oh, okay, good.
And the reflection for you specifically is geared towards... And I don't know what August is going to bring for you, but just kind of like how your work, like what impact your work has on the collective. Like that's what I see kind of the reflection being about. All the energy after August is kind of in the part of the chart for human, like not, it's not about you. It's about what are you doing for the collective and how is your work changing humanity really? No big deal.
Okay. I'll take some time off in September and think about it.
And then September also, when all these planets are retrograde, the karmic focus of your soul shifts to the me we part of the chart. So how are you a me inside of this giant we? It could be you and Alex stuff too, like, you know, keeping, I'm sure you guys both do work on keeping your own individual identities within your partnership. But yeah, the karmic focus of your soul is also switching in September, and that's going to be kind of like who am I kind of stuff, maybe more crisis and consciousness the karmic focus is going to be from September 2021 to February 2023. Just about a year and a half period of coming into yourself even more and like figuring out who you are on a deeper level.
Okay. So when you say the karmic focus is switching, can you tell like what it was and what it will be? Or is it just a shift that's happening?
It's a shift. So it's the lunar nodes are going to be moving into your first and seventh houses of the birth chart. And they were last there 18, 19 years ago. So you can, this happens every 18, 19 years. It's a karmic cycle. So you can reflect back in 2003, who was the me that Gina thought she was back then? How did you identify? That chapter is closing and there's going to be a new me. I don't know what version, are you on version 2.0 of Gina or 3.0, whatever version you're on now? You're on 10. All right, you're going to turn that up to 11, Spinal Tap reference. It's going to 11.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so I just want to end with your 41st birthday. I'm going to take a snapshot again of the sky, the moment the sun returns to the moment it was at your birth. And okay, so what you can expect after your 41st birthday is, by the way, the magic minute, it's October 22nd, 7:10 a.m. If you have any kind of setting a wish or magical practice, 7:10 a.m. on October 22nd is your astrological birthday to the minute.
Oh.
And I always tell people to like, just do something, take a breath, whatever it is at that minute. It's the sun is lighting you up in the same sky, part of the sky at your birth. Let's see. I mean, all I can see is after your 41st birthday, it's like things are weird and that's the new normal. You're in your stride, you're super motivated, you got endless fuel after your 41st birthday. I just see you moving and shaking and doing exactly what you signed up to do
cool.
after your 41st birthday. I wouldn't put, I don't know. I'm just going to say it one more time. I wouldn't put a move out. I don't know why.
Oh, really?
Either like expanding your house or doing something or buying an RV. Like there's some kind of home base, something new with that. Or it could be office space too, or building a shed just so you have like something that you can go and like see clients with. Something with your house.
Okay.
Like where you're living. So just going to throw that out there one more time.
That is our episode for today. And if you want more interaction with me, I would love to have you in Kinship. Kinship is my 2022 membership, and it includes a monthly special podcast episode exclusively for those in Kinship. 2 past life regressions that are live that you can sit on. Replays will also be available. And then a monthly gathering where it's Q&As, it's hypnotic journeys, it's discussions. I'm going to have a few guests throughout the year. It's going to be so fun, and I would love to see you there. Go to pastlivesandthedivine.com/kinship to check out all the topics throughout the year and even more details on everything that's offered. Okay. Most of all, thank you so much for being here. Take anything that feels good, makes your load feel lighter, and just leave the rest.